He's as ugly as a hat full of
holes.
That's why we call him Ugly Phil.
Just don't let me catch you with an animal in here.
And from Triple M,
this is his catch-up podcast.
Welcome to the Ugly Phil catch-up. Former Guns N' Roses drummer and co-founder of the band is about to bring his live show, Adler's Appetite, to Australia. I was so excited when I got to chat to Stephen this week for Triple M. And for this catch-up, you'll hear the full interview.
Hey, Phil, how are you?
Hey, Steve, how are you, man?
I am fabulous. Why do they call you Ugly Phil? I heard that your mother would see you, people would come up and say, is this your son? And she'd say, this ugly kid? Hell no.
That's it. Yeah, you've been reading my diaries, man.
Ugly Phil. Dude, let me tell you, I saw a picture of you. I think you're pretty damn sexy.
Look, you know what? I'm not that bad looking, really.
They call you Ugly Phil because you're so goddamn good looking.
That's it, man.
Everybody's jealous of you.
Hey, you know what? I'm jealous of you because you have had the greatest rock and roll lifestyle. You know, I mean, there are some things that haven't gone to plan, but being part of Guns N' Roses...
No, they did not. There are definitely some things that were not planned. So wonderful being alive and being sober. I'm playing better than ever. Like everybody, like all the GNR fans, they wish that me and Izzy would have been a part of the so-called reunion. It's not a reunion because me and Izzy aren't there.
Yeah, sure.
But it was kind of hard because the songs, they mean so much to me. And I'm so proud of the five of us, you know, that we created that. We had something that was magic that only a handful of bands, you know, through the decades have had. And I love playing these songs so much. I have friends from the 80s and 90s that made big records. And I'm saying, dude, did you ever listen to your record, the Plastic Dome?
Yep.
And they're all, hell no. And I'm like, really? They're such a great record. It's just, I listen to my record all the time.
Oh, of course.
I practice to it.
Of course. Why wouldn't you, man?
I'm a fan.
Yeah.
I'm a fan of my own band.
So I want to just quickly talk to you about, you know, I didn't realize that the situation you were in, when I saw Dr. Drew when you were on that, I thought to myself, man, you know, I really felt for you and I felt your pain. Have you had the chance to look back at any of those Dr. Drew episodes? And if you have, what do you think about when you see that?
First thing, Dr. Drew is one of the most fabulous people I've ever met in my life.
For sure.
That show was so great. Everybody that he had on our show, he gave us all an opportunity to turn our lives around.
Yep.
When I'm working with him, doing a TV show, and this goes for any of your listeners that have friends that are alcoholics or addicts, because when you see yourself on film being full of shit and lying and being in denial, unless you see yourself and hear yourself doing that, you believe yourself. And when I saw myself on TV when I was bullshitting and being in denial, I was opened your eyes. I put it this way. My wife, before I quit drinking 4 years, 3 months, 3 days ago, she videotaped me drunk.
Yeah.
And I would do stupid things, and I wouldn't remember. And then she would tell me the next day, and I would go, you're crazy. I didn't do any of that. And this time, she goes, really? Let me show you what he did.
Wow.
You know, because the cell phones have video cameras.
Yeah, yeah.
So she showed me that, and it opens your eyes, and it opens your brain. It's like, wow, this is really what I'm doing and how I'm acting. And I'm bringing my mom with me, you know, because she came out with her book called Sweet Child of Mine. And what's so great about her book is, you know, like my book, My Appetite for Destruction, and other rock stars, it's always about the partying and the drugs and the chick, you know, all that crazy stuff. But you never hear about a book where you're getting the other side of the track, what they went through. I didn't wake up in the morning, or actually come to in the morning and go, how can I hurt the people I love the most? It's a disease. It's an addiction. So my mom's book, you get to see what the other side is and how much what I was doing was hurting the people that I love and that love me.
So cool that you can look back and that you're still alive and that you had a support system like your wife and also your mum. And, you know, when you look at the chapter, especially where she found you on the floor, and she doesn't mince words. She talks about how you're soaked in a pool of blood and mucus and your face is smashed in.
She's out.
When you read that back, what did you think? I mean, you know, that must have also been really powerful.
I said, I'm not reading anymore. When my book came out, I read it. And I built a fire in my fireplace, and I tossed it in there. And I said, that was that chapter of my life. Now it's time to move on to another one.
Yeah.
And then I got sober off the alcohol 4 years, 3 months ago. And now I'm doing the third chapter of my life. And if I was drinking, there's no way I'd be going to Australia. I wouldn't even be talking to you right now.
Yeah.
So I'm just so happy to be able to be living again. So proud. And I love the Appetite song and the other songs that we're going to be playing. We're basically going to start off with Reckless Life and end with Paradise City and everything else and then some. Love playing the songs. I wish I could have been able to play these songs with the guys that I wrote them with.
Yep.
But it didn't work out that way. So I still love playing them. And I love them. And, you know, our fans love them. The coolest place in the world and the coolest people in the world to play these songs and to play rock and roll is in Australia. I'm really looking forward to eating some real food. Clean
well,
food.
Well, we'll fix
smelling
all that up.
Clean air.
Yeah, you know.
Seeing beautiful people.
Yeah, we'll get you to the beach. I want to go back quickly to when you and Slash started the Road Crew and you found that you needed a vocalist. How did Axl appear on the scene, and did you know straight away that he was the guy that you were looking for?
Me and Slash, we were walking down Sunset Boulevard one night, and there's flyers all over the sidewalk, because back then, all the bands had passed out flyers. And we just saw this, noticed this one flyer, and we picked it up and looked at it, and we said, these guys look really cool. So we went to go see him, and it was Axl and Izzy and two other guys. And I told Slash, I said, Slash, we get that singer and that guitar player and Duff, we're going to have the biggest, greatest fucking rock and roll band ever.
Yeah.
And the next day, I met Izzy through the guitar player for this band, London, that Nikki Six put together. I met this guy, Lizzie Gray, and Izzy was living in an apartment right next to him. So I met Izzy, and then I was leaving Izzy's place, and I was going over to this girl's apartment that we always used to hang out at. And Axl was walking across the street to go to Izzy's, and I was walking across the street to go to this girl's house. I stopped him in the middle of the street. I said, dude, aren't you that singer that played last night at Gazzari's? And he's all, yeah, yeah. I said, dude, you were so great. I said, I got this guitar player and bass player that I want to introduce you to. And as soon as we got together, it was magic.
Yeah, of course.
It just was perfect.
Here's the crazy thing about this, of course, is that Axl eventually fires you from the group, which must have been a really f***ed up thing to happen at the time, but, and I imagine you were really pissed off about it. But in a way, he kind of did you a favor, didn't he?
Broke my heart, dude.
Yeah.
No, he didn't do me a favor.
You don't think so, right?
He did nothing but break my heart and break millions of our fans' hearts.
Yeah.
That's all it did. And then they drove Izzy out. This is the way I look at Guns N' Roses with the formula. We baked the pie for 5 years. Every year we would enter a different pie in a pie contest. And every year we would win. And then on the sixth year, they decided to put a different ingredient in. Then they didn't win first prize. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, sure.
It's the five of us that made the ingredients that made us winners.
Yeah.
And you take one of those out, and it's just not the same. If you listen to Use Your Illusion, I played on Civil War, the last song I recorded with them. And it's undeniable that once Civil War is over and the next song starts, it's a completely different band.
Yeah, I totally agree with
you, man. And yes, it broke my heart.
Yeah.
Because me and Slash grew up together. We've known each other since we were 12, 13 years old, and this was our dream. I don't have resentment anymore, because if I had resentment towards them, I would still be drinking and drugging. I learned that not take things personal, to not make assumptions, and just do my best, no more, no less, and be impeccable with my word.
Yeah.
I'm trying to do my best. I love them, and I'm so thankful that I got to do what I got to do. And I said this before, but the great Freddie Mercury had once said, 1 year of love is better than a lifetime alone.
That's it right
and
there.
And at least I got to be a part of that magic. In the 80s, there was a million bands, but I was in the one band that was the cool kids in school.
Yeah, that's it.
We were the band that every other musician wanted to be in.
Absolutely. And you know what? You're loved by millions of Australians as well. I'm so psyched being able to have you in Australia. And I'm really excited that you're bringing some special guests along with you. There are rumors of a vocalist who's renowned, but you're not letting anything on here. Do you want to give us a hint?
I'll give you a hint. He was on American Idol. Quite surprised. I just got back from rehearsal. And, you know, I love playing these songs. They're great. But to hear a vocalist singing these songs, you know, with such a strong, beautiful voice, it's wonderful. And it feels so good.
Yeah.
And I want everybody, you know, to come to the show. Come down to Soundcheck. I want to meet everybody. I got hugs for everybody. Bring your records. I'll sign stuff. We'll take pictures. We'll hang out. If you want to bring a home-cooked meal, I would love that.
Hey, listen, you're going to come in, right?
Of course I am.
Oh, excellent. All right, play whatever you want for an hour.
Oh, I would love that.
Think of some songs on the plane.
That would be awesome. Thank you. You know, I know GNR was just there year, I guess, last year. And now people are going to, they're going to have an opportunity to hear the songs that they grew up and they love so much the right way.
Make sure you put together a playlist for when you come in so we can play them. Something to think about on the plane.
Oh, that, I already thought about it. I'm going to use my iPhone and we're going to call the hour to Steven Adler. My turn.
You are a legend. Can't wait to see you. Thank you so much, Steve.
I'll see you in a few weeks.